We'll take just a moment of your time this evening. You might want to turn in your Bibles to the book of Malachi. Malachi being the last letter, the Old Testament, before God, as it were, went silent. No more prophecies. Next heard from John the Baptizer. But as we look at the book of Malachi, it's an amazing book to me, because we have in so many places where the people really are arguing with God. And I thought about that a number of times and thought about the futility of people who argue with God. And yet you look around the world today, and there are so many people in the world, so many people who reject God, so many people who see God's word and completely reject what God has to say. Well, folks, those are people who are arguing with God. But I want to challenge us as well to think about these things. Do we sometimes argue with God? And I mean that in the sense, not literally, but in the sense that when we read something that should prick our hearts, should soften our hearts toward the truth, but we've had a long-held view of something, and we just don't want to give it up, so we begin to argue with God, argue with the Scriptures. You know, I see this sometimes, and my mind goes back to Hosea chapter 4 and verse 1 and following. It says there that the Lord had a controversy with His people. Maybe the New King James renders that He was bringing a charge against His people. Why? Because there was no truth. There was no mercy. There was no knowledge in the land anymore. In fact, it went to the point of saying that by swearing and lying and killing and stealing, committing adultery, listen, they broke all restraints from God. Well, folks, that's somebody who is arguing with God. Why? Because the Bible plainly teaches us what the truth is. The Bible tells us that there is a knowledge that will save our souls. John chapter 8 and verse 32. And many other places. We have all within the Word of God that murder is sinful. That stealing is sinful. That committing adultery is sinful. And yet people in the world go about doing it all the time. But again, I want to redirect our minds to the idea that sometimes if we're not careful, though we don't do it in a literal sense, we can argue with God. Go over to the book of Malachi chapter 1. And believe me, I could go to other places in Malachi. One of my favorites, all-time favorites, and maybe we'll do something on this one of these days, is that of in Malachi chapter 3, when the people are asked, "Will you rob God?" And yet you have robbed me. And they're automatically, they're responsible. In what way have we robbed God? Well, he begins to explain that to them. Well, the same thing is true as we read in Malachi chapter 1. It says, "The burden or oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. He says, I've loved you, says the Lord, and yet you say, in what way have you loved us?" See, immediately they come out and say, "Well, how have you loved us, God?" Well, he's going to explain that. "Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord? Yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I've hated, and laid waste his mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness. And even though Edom has said, 'We have been impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places,' thus says the Lord of hosts, 'They may build, but I'll throw down. They shall be called the territory of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord will have indignation forever. Your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord is magnified beyond the borders of Israel.'" In other words, the majestic nature of God, the sovereignty of God, is going to be known way beyond just the Israelite people. But then notice verse 6. "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am the master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts to you priests who despise my name. And yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar. You say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table, Lord, is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? You see, they were arguing with God by their very sacrifices. What are we commanded to do? Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and following. I think we offer up what? A spiritual, right? And sometimes if we're not careful, we may begin to argue with God by placing so much emphasis on the physical of this life. So many things revolve around the physical thing. We understand that we need those things because we are physical. But our goal should not be in the physical, but the spiritual. And when we begin to think about what we are offering God, and again, Paul says, I beseech you, brethren. That's a pleading with you. And he, by the way, goes on and says, which is your reasonable service? He says, offer up ourselves a spiritual sacrifice to God, not the physical one. See, if we get too wound up in things, we may begin to argue with God. Well, this is more important than the spiritual. This is more important than offering the things that are proper to you. And we become guilty as they were by offering up the blind and the lame. And I think the penetrating question that Malachi asked at this point, he says, offer those same things up to the governor and see if he'll accept that. Folks, our home is in heaven. Our citizenship is not here on this earth. Let's go about this life that we live today, striving each and every day to live a spiritual life. Live a life that people can see Christ living in us. Not connected and tied to this world so much that we begin to argue with what God said to offer him. And offer what we want. If there's anyone here this evening who's never put your Lord and Savior on in baptism, we ask the simple question, what about tonight? Do you know what the Bible teaches concerning being obedient to the gospel? Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you ready to repent of your sins? That's turning away from those sins and turning life back toward God. Are you ready to offer up that confession of who Christ is, that he is, in fact, the very Son of God? Then you're ready to be baptized. You're ready to have your sins washed away. And we ask the simple question again, why not tonight? Why not make that decision now? Maybe it is the case that you're a child of God. And in a very real sense, you've begun to argue with God. Well, I know what the Bible says about this, but I don't really want to do that. Or I've always believed that I could do that, or whatever the argument might be. And you're ready to come back to God on his terms. Again, can you think of a better time than right now to be obedient to the gospel or come back to God and ask for forgiveness of sins, prayers of a congregation that loves you, whatever your need may be. If we can help out, won't you come right now as we stand and sing this song?